This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. Not my normal intro, because I've been doing a lot of thinking. We have not accounted for the fact that we have the 18th toughest schedule in the Big Ten, according to some. Should we call it a bakery because it's full of cupcakes? Do you factor that in? Like, if we had Oklahoma and Florida's schedule, would you look at it the same? And I can go through everyone that Florida plays. Just look at the NFC East, West, and North. It's basically all those teams. So how do we factor in the strength of schedule here? And again, we don't know. Again, I pointed this out a bunch of times. Indiana was way better than we thought. Illinois, way better than we thought. Then you go to the end of the year, Iowa, Wisconsin, we're kind of limping through. Unfortunately, we didn't beat both those teams. You look at this year, you kind of project what teams are going to be. But in this day and age of transfer portal, you don't really know. Again, I'm going to stick with the first three. It is fair to expect to be 3-0 after those first three games. Beyond that, it is so wildly unpredictable, and you really don't know what to expect. It's part of the fun of college football. It's part of what makes it maddening as a Nebraska fan, if we're being honest with you. Okay, but talk to me about this schedule and how that factors into what you expect when it comes to wins and losses there, Jake.
Well, it is interesting, especially in modern college football, where these, you know, well, especially just Big Ten, the giant conference between the Big Ten and the SEC, when we go through these schedules, and you can call this one a cupcake schedule, when 25% of the schedule is Michigan, Penn State, and USC. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, you can call it a cupcake, but, I mean, it still has its challenges to it. Now, obviously, like we said, I mean, not having to play a road game till October certainly helps. I mean, there are factors in it that factor in well for Nebraska, but I don't know. I don't lean too heavy into it. I can understand like the difference between that and some of the tougher, like Northwestern's schedule in the Big Ten is just tougher. So I mean, there are definitely levels to it, but I still think if you look at this, it could end up being a difficult schedule. This is preseason, trying to figure out where everybody's at, can sometimes be a little bit tough. I mean, maybe Northwestern is this year's team, maybe not quite to the Indiana level, but maybe we've seen Northwestern go basically 1-11 coming off a 9-3 season. They have got jumped up and down. So we don't really know what we have in front of us, but certainly it does change the way you talk about the predictions heading into it, right? If we had Florida's schedule, Oklahoma's schedule, and you say 7-5 coming out of that, that feels a lot better than 7-5 with Nebraska's schedule.
So just for kicks and grins, I pulled up Florida's schedule. I have an idea of what it is anyways. Here's like a stretch that they have. Three games in. LSU, Miami, Texas, Texas A&M, Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Florida State. That's 9 of their 12 games. You pointed out 3 of our 12 games. And I'm not saying, like I'm kind of having fun with this. Like, you don't know what to make of our schedule coming up. The preseason projections is that we are the 18th strength of schedule in the Big Ten out of 18 teams. So it's not projected to be the toughest strength of schedule in the world. Now, you look at their other games that I didn't even talk about. It's still Kentucky, Mississippi State in conference. It's not going to be easy. Anytime you're playing a power, really two conference team, it's never going to be easy. And I might even add that it's at Kentucky, so it's a road game. But of their two remaining games, you got LIU. I honestly don't know who LIU is. It looks like a white-yellow shark, the mascot. I don't know what that is. All right, and then you got South Florida, which is a rising, one of the top five G5 programs in the country. It's also an in-state rival if you're Florida. Now, I'm not saying, I wish we had Florida's schedule. I'm not saying that at all. Part of that is Florida did that to themselves by scheduling Florida State, Miami, and USF. And then they have a tough in-conference schedule. Part of that is they did it to themselves. Obviously, we chose not to play Tennessee, so we're taking a little bit different route. I bring up and joke about the bakery, you know, full of cupcakes, haha. I bring it up because I don't care. I don't care. There's going to come a year, I guarantee, where we've got like Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, USC, Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois is going to be ranked, Indiana, if they're still rolling with Cignetti. And I'm going to sit here, I'm going to say, I don't care. Nick Saner brought this up last week, and I thought he made a great point because I asked about at Maryland, which is traveling halfway across the country, and then on a short week playing at Minnesota on a Friday night. I was like, dude, that's going to be tough. He goes, I don't care. I'm tired of excuses. Either get it done or don't. And I was like, God dang, he's so right. Like at a certain point, you either win or you lose. You either figure it out or you don't. If we go beat Minnesota, I'm going to point out the challenges. But I'm also going to say, this is what Nebraska should be doing. If we lose, I'll point out the challenges and I'm going to say, I don't care because we're not the only team that has to deal with this. Do you remember last year? I pointed out on the show just once, so maybe you don't remember. Oregon played 8 straight weekends in a row. Big Ten conference opponents. And then for whatever reason, they had a bye right before their last game versus Washington, which actually helped them going into the Big Ten championship. But you don't know if you're going to be in that game before the season. No other team in the Big Ten had 8 straight Big Ten games in a row. And I think 5 of the 8 were on the road, if I remember right. They went undefeated and they made no excuses. You never heard Dan Lanning bring that up once. I heard somebody else bring it up. I looked it up and I was like, that's tough. And then that team made no excuses, never brought it up, and went undefeated in the regular season. Obviously, they wish the Rose Bowl would have gone differently, but Nebraska needs to get to that point. I make the joke about the bakery, haha. Whoever's on the schedule, and obviously the tougher teams you play, the harder it is to win games. I get that. I understand that. I'm not overlooking that. What I'm saying is I'm so tired of, well, there's this, there's that, there's this, there's that. You know what there is? There's the scoreboard. And the team that scored one more point or more than the other team, and I'm to the point where that's all I'm really interested in at this point. Is that fair, or am I going a little too far with that, Jake?
Well, no. I mean, I think there's a little bit something like you have to, as an athletic director, you have to stand up for this if the schedule is just kind of, you know, out of whack, right? Like when we mentioned Nebraska joining the Big Ten, you always make the joke that they were playing the NFC North, left and right or whatever. So I think that there's a spot for that. And you have to fight for yourself. But again, as a team and then all together, like, I don't know, like, I you can't be all that upset about whatever schedule you get when you're not consistently beating Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa,
yes.
Right? So,
yes.
I mean, all these,
yes.
When we joined the Big Ten, it was like, oh, Michigan, Ohio State, let's see if Nebraska can take them down. And they haven't been able to take down the bottom half, the middle half of the Big Ten, let alone the top half.
The tier two, I would call them. Yeah. We haven't taken down the tier two yet.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
All right. You got any final thoughts on the schedule? We spent an hour on that, and I think it was a fun conversation that was not planned, but you got any final thoughts? Is there anything off the text line? And then I'm going to get back to the guys who committed yesterday, which I started to talk about 90 minutes ago.
We just had William says USC is the game we need. So he kind of puts that out there.
Okay. All right.
Maybe a big one, which I do think it will be big as well.
All right. I won't argue with that. I don't know if it's the game, but it's definitely one of the games. I can agree with that. All right. Again, in case you missed, or you just want to learn more. All right, Florida, First Academy defensive back Danny Odom announced his commitment to Nebraska football on Monday as he chose the Huskers over, again, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Penn State. Big time names. We're trying to get him. Here's what he had to say, and I quote, "The relationships and the coaching staff made Nebraska home." All right, end quote. Another quote, "I feel like they're about to build something special," end quote. Now, his connection with the Huskers really is in large part due to the DB's coach, Addison Williams, who actually started to recruit him when he was at UCF. So they've got a longer-term relationship there. All right, he's a 4-star defensive back. He also participated in Nebraska's junior day this winter and soon after scheduled his visit for June and just committed, like I mentioned, a day ago. Let's see what else we got. He's 6'2", 180 pounds, has a good frame for a lot of development coming up in the future. Let's see. I got a little bit more on him. Let's get back to that. You got any quick thoughts real quick while I kind of go through my notes here?
No. It's obviously a big get for Nebraska. Again, we kind of mentioned this at the top of the show, is that, you know, Danny Odom is and you mentioned those offers he's got, beating Ohio State, Oklahoma, basically the who's of college football to get him. Just huge for Nebraska. And right now sits as kind of your the crown jewel, if you will, of your class. So, you know, you're gonna have to, you know, fight as always to try to keep him. And so that's kind of the interesting part from here on out, because it does again remind me kind of C.J. Brona, same state, right? You got the same cornerback, or different cornerback again out of the same state. But this one feels pretty good where Nebraska has landed him. And I know that he visited Nebraska 3 times in the last 6 months. So, I mean, part of it's, you know, the courting that they've done. And that's what you hear from just about every one of these guys. And you should hear it in recruiting, is that they just like the coaching staff and the connection that they're building with them.
This seems kind of obvious, but I'm going to go ahead and point it out. The more time somebody spends at a place, the more times they're willing to visit, that's a really good sign. I'm not saying if someone visit once, commits, that they're not like fully committed. In this day and age, you never know if anybody's fully committed. But he's been here 3 times. To me, that speaks pretty loudly. Now, if you can find taller guys that can move well, that obviously is a huge advantage. But Matt Rhule tends to go after a little bit taller defensive backs. Again, he's 6'2", 180 pounds. If you wanted to liken him to someone maybe currently on the roster, maybe a Bly Hill-esque type build in his body, at least to this point. He is, again, a consensus 4-star. One of the most highly recruited players Rhule has landed, you know, maybe since Dylan Raiola. Okay, there's some other names in there, but he's going to be towards the top of that list. A native of Pennsylvania. Again, other schools that we're going after, Ohio State, Penn State, Clemson, Oklahoma. Okay, let's see. The other player that committed yesterday. All right, running back. So we've talked about that running back room just a little bit. Obviously, he won't be in the room this fall, but Jamal Rhule. All right, one of the most underrated running backs in the nation. All right, he's committed to Nebraska. The 3-star running back chose the Cornhuskers over Michigan State, Wisconsin, Syracuse, Virginia. All right, North Carolina. He's a Charlotte, North Carolina prospect, I should say. He was among Nebraska's, one of their top running back targets for the 2026 class. All right, he is 6 foot, 205 pounds, and as a junior in high school, had 134 rushing attempts for 1,236 yards, averaged 9.2 yards per carry, 15 touchdowns as well. He was named the 2024 North Carolina All to the 2024 North Carolina All-State team. Currently, Jamal Rhule appears to be a hidden gem, potentially, in this 2026 class. It wouldn't entirely shock me if he ends up being a 4-star by the time he arrives on campus here at Nebraska, assuming everything goes hopefully the way that we would like it to. And he'll probably attract attention from more schools. So this is a situation, you know, with Odom, with Rhule. It is spelled differently for those who haven't seen his name. You got to continue to recruit them. I feel like as a college coach, you never stop recruiting, ever. You have to recruit high school kids. You got to recruit talent, transfer portal kids. You have to evaluate all these guys. And then you have to recruit your own current roster to a certain degree. All right, at least until contracts become more into effect than they already are. You just never stop recruiting, because he's probably going to have a big senior season and people are probably going to keep coming after him, so to speak, trying to get him to change his mind. Now, with his style of running, all right, he likes to... A lot of running backs are kind of juke type guys or more power backs. So they got the breakaway speed. He seems to be kind of like a one cut and go. In other words, like if you're running a zone scheme, one of the strengths of a zone running back, a running back who's good at running zone plays within a zone scheme is really you don't know where the holes are going to be. That's where you get a lot of your cutback lanes. Obviously, you're trying to stretch the defense to the sideline. Maybe you get outside of them. Maybe the hole opens up in front of you. Maybe the hole opens up behind you. You have to have great vision. It's one cut, dent, get downhill, and then go. Okay, it doesn't fit every running back out there. Some guys fit better in a power scheme. Some guys, obviously, different players have different strengths. He seems to really excel in a zone running scheme. Again, it's one cut, get downhill, boom, and go. And that really is something that's a strength of a zone scheme, zone, running scheme type running back. Once again, 9.2 yards per carry. All right, he only played 7 games last year, but he is one of those guys, if I were to describe him, he's one of those guys that can be a home run hitter on a football field, so to speak. Okay, now the Huskers actually brought in 2 backs for an official visit during the June window, Rhule and Brian Bonner. All right, you could say that Bonner maybe had the higher recruiting ranking, but Rhule has talked about it. It's not just the recruit or the rankings. It is the person, the player, and how they're going to mesh if and when they come to campus. All right, Matt Rhule does tend to be more decisive. I'm sorry, Rhule is a little bit thicker and a little bit more decisive in his running style, which is one of the reasons he's good as running the zone scheme as a zone type running back. You got any quick thoughts here, Jake, on either one of these players?
Yeah, I'm intrigued by especially running back recruiting, right? Because EJ Barthel, so far at his time at Nebraska, I don't know if you'd give the highest grade as far as what he's done as a running back coach, but he's still here, right? Which is more to say than some of the other offensive hires that Nebraska has made. But it almost has been a challenge to see Emmett Johnson as their lead back, right? I mean, he's had to fight for it over the last couple of years, finished 2 years ago looking like their lead back, and then, you know, got to the point where he was only getting, you know, sometimes not getting a carry. And then you go into this year, and again, Emmett Johnson seems to be the proven back, but then what's behind him is, I don't want to say a whole bunch of question marks, but guys that just aren't proven. So, you know, I this is a big year, obviously for Emmett Johnson, but also for those backups to kind of get some momentum so that by the time that Jamal Rock Rule, by the way, is what he goes by, that there is some established running backs in the stable. So I can't wait to see what the running back position looks like this year behind Emmett Johnson. And of course, again, that's the future of it. And then, you know, and then hopefully Jamal Rule can kind of fit in when he gets to campus.
Yeah, the running back room, who's going to step up on the defensive line? These are some of the things that are going to be intriguing storylines to watch as the season unfolds. And then Nebraska did not bring in a running back in the 2025 class. All right. And we now have our running back, as we would perceive, going into 2026. It's a young room. I mean, Emmett Johnson is a junior. You know, and then you look at everybody else. All right. You got guys like Mekhi Nelson, Quentin Ives. You got some freshmen that are coming in, Jamarion Parker. Okay. It's a very young room. So we're going to see who emerges, who steps up. And I'm excited to see, watch Rule's senior season and ultimately what he looks like when he steps on campus as well. All right. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.